like to express my sincere gratitude to Professor Martha Danesi and the field for this invitation. Especially under the circumstance in Japan, I would have never reached here without the encouragement of Professor Danesi. Well, probably you are more interested in the Japanese seismic situation rather than semiotic contemplation, but I'm going to talk about my semiotic contemplations that I have been doing for about 9 years. So the title is Dyadic Sign Models Through Computer Programs. So before I go on to the main point, probably I'll self-introduce. I'm working as a faculty member in the University of Tokyo, as Alison introduced me. And my educational background is applied mathematics, computer science, and computational linguistics. So I'm more in the engineering and scientific side. And I teach courses of programming and also computational linguistics. And as for my research domains, it's totally around language. And you have a diagram here above is the application side, and here underneath it, you have the fundamental side. And I have about 10 students, and with them, I'm working on various gadgets, which and the software which would work on iPads and iPhones. And I also have a book published from Text Entry about text entry systems from Morgan Kaufman. So it's very engineering, language engineering or language technology that I'm actually in. And of course, underneath there is more fundamental language technology, which is natural language processing. And I have been doing that since I was doing my PhD. And beneath, I'm recently very much interested in computational linguistics in order to look at mathematical principles underlying language. And having all these interests towards language, mathematics, and computation, I started to get interested in semiotics and how these semiotics can be applied to computation in general. But since this is a very fundamental work, semiotics is more fundamental to linguistics. That's how I think. Therefore, I have situated this as my side work. So this computational semiotics, why computational semiotics now? Well, computation actually is a very interesting target for semiotics because computers are pan-semiotic. There is a huge discussion or controversy around whether human thoughts are really pan-semiotic or not, like first said. But computers are pan-semiotic. It works actually in bits, which are ones and zeros of signs, and those are written through programs which are full of signs. And user interfaces are also signs. You have a lot of different desktop icons and status sounds to let you know the situation of the computer, which are also functioning as signs. And also you do various processing on computers by mirroring or modeling the phenomena, natural phenomena. And those are all described in terms of programs, and they are described in language or by signs. Therefore, computers are pan-semiotic, and I think it is a very interesting target for the semiotics. And in addition to these features, computers have quite nice features, such as computer theories are very rigorous and formal, like mathematics too. Therefore, if you apply a theory like semiotics, which is still not so established, you will see you will be able to look at the semiotics once again from with a formal viewpoint. And also, computers are interpreted on machines, and therefore all procedures must be described using signs, inclusively of repetitions. In the case of mathematics, you might just eliminate the repetition. Like if you have the same kind of proof, you would say that you will have the same proof, similar to the formal proof or whatever, and you can eliminate it. But in the case of computation, you have to describe everything in signs. And also, in computers, you have to describe what even the signifiers are. You have to let know the computer what, for example, the number 3 is by the bit. So computers are very explicit, and you had never had such a large target where you have some interpretive procedure outside of human brain. And this is something which is different from math. And so you have two good properties about computation, that computer theories are rigorous and formal, and it has something interpretation outside of human brain. So if you apply semiotics to computation, then I think you'd be able to, the semiotics can contribute by providing explanation why computation is in the current form, in a formal way. And also, what you get from computation side to semiotics is that it helps to reformulate semiotics with formality. So I think you can gain a lot of things if you apply semiotics to computation. The related work so far on computation and semiotics, as far as I know, here are the representatives. The first article appeared in Communications of the ASM, this is Association for Computing Machinery, the American Computer Scientific Academia. And in the communications, Temanek, a person whose name is Temanek, he wrote in 1966, Semiotics and Programming Languages. And well, it's just a four-page brief article, and it only talks about the importance of looking at the programming languages from semiotics viewpoint, and it doesn't, I think, really, it doesn't go into the detail. So as for the books, of course, you have the books from the Anderson, and he wrote several books on software engineering from a quite general viewpoint. You also have a book from Liu, and a book entitled Semiotics in Information System Engineering. And also, there is an application to the semiotic application to the human computer interaction, which appeared from MIT Press in 2006. And of course, there are, if you look at individual papers, there are actually, it's quite emerging, and you will find a lot, especially in the proceedings of the conferences for organizational semiotics, and you would find some in Semiotical Journal and Journal of Mind and Machine. So my achievements so far in this field of computational semiotics, which has been my side work, is firstly, I translated a social third lecture in general linguistics. This lecture is known to be one of the most compact and comprehensible archive of social philosophy, and especially the notes taken by Emil Constantin in 1911 is known to be a perfect archive. And just for you to, for your interest, this is the note taken in 1911 or around. This Emil Constantin took social lecture in 2-3 years, the same lecture, and he has notes like this. And if you open one of this, you will find his dictation of his professor Du Social. And here you see the signifiant, signifier, famous diagram appearing. And this is really a dictation, and I can't imagine my student dictating my lecture word by word, but these are real sentences of Du Social, and I really wonder how this happened. I mean, that in what speed that professors were speaking 100 years ago. But anyway, since you have this, you will be able to see the philosophy of Du Social, because probably you know that Du Social wrote nothing by his own hand, a book about his philosophy. So I translated this and got this book, of course, in Japanese. And another achievement I got is the semiotics of programming, which appeared last year from Cambridge University Press, and I have the corresponding translation in Japanese. And these are based on papers published mainly in Semiotica, and I have to again express my gratitude to Professor Danesi, the journal editor this time, of supporting me during all these years to help me publish this book. So my talk today is taken from this book, Semiotics of Programming, appeared last year. And the target is, as I shown you this diagram a while ago, there are two sides, the semiotic contribution to computation and computational contribution to semiotics. And for the first, semiotic, you can obtain semiotic explanation of programming languages, which is not present. I mean, the computational theories are all established from the viewpoint of engineering and the needs for the programmers to better write programs, and it completely lacks the context of humanities. So I think semiotic, trying to explain in a semiotic context would provide what actually computation is. And from the for the computational contribution to the semiotics, you would be able to reformulate semiotics because computational theories are very formal and rigorous, as I said a while ago. And of course, this kind of contrast, since semiotics is humanities and computation is science or engineering or machines, it would highlight how computers and human science systems are different, how they function in a different manner. And in order to discuss this, I use the key term self-reference and book discusses this difference under the key keyword of self-reference. So the book is organized in three parts. Firstly, it talks about models of science. Second part talks about kinds of science. And third part talks about the systems of science. And you have a funny diagram here. I don't know whether you would be able to see these small fonts, but it shows a map of the book appearing in the book. And here you see a kind of Persian sort of sign model here. And in chapter 3, 4, 5, there are discussions about the models of the signs. So it's somewhere inside this whole sign model, sign system. And the part two talks about the more in the detail of the elements of the sign models, like what is the signifier and what is the content or object, or what is the interpretant, etc. And in part three, you have a whole sign. It talks about the structure of the whole sign system and about its interaction with the outside. So from this map today, I would like to talk about the models of signs, especially taken from chapter 3 and 4, and a little touch of chapter 9. So the dyadic and triadic sign models through computer programs. Well, probably you know, but if you only say dyadic models or triadic models in the context of semiotics, there are a lot of philosophers who took either side. So among from those philosophers, let me take the representatives for the dyadic side, Du Social, and triadic side, Peirce. So I guess that today's audience know this diagram. Du Social's dyadic model is of course formed of signifier and signified. And as for the Peirce's model, you have triadic model, where you have representament, object, and interpretant. And my question was how they correspond. So how these elements correspond. And in the handbook of semiotics written by Knopf, he has a quite huge diagram or tables in order trying to take all the correspondences among all the quite a few dyadic models and triadic models. And finally, he concludes that it is a Babylonian confusion. But even within this Babylonian confusion, there is something that everybody agrees, which is the correspondence between the signifier and the representament. So the question is, what about the rest? And if you raise all possibilities, social signified could correspond to Percy's object, or Percy's interpretant, or both, or none, right? So you have one signified, so this could correspond to object, or interpretant, or both, or none. And if you read the literature given by Knopf and also Eco and some others, you will find currently people believe that social signified corresponds mostly to Percy's interpretant. So the diagram would be something like this. So the signified corresponds to interpretant. And in order to show how what Eco had not said about this correspondence is, well, some phrases taken from books of Eco is that objects are not considered within social linguistics, and social concept corresponds to Percy's interpretant. So concept here, of course, social concept, of course, corresponds to social signified. This means that Eco considered that signified corresponds to Percy's interpretant. As for Knopf, in his handbook of semiotics, he says dyadic models ignore either the dimension of reference or that of sense. So the reference of sense is his notion in order to show a kind of a uniform axis in order to take the correspondence among the philosophers' dyadic and triadic models. And so he now says that dyadic model ignore either dimension of the triadic model. And he also gives a very interesting table in his handbook that, so he has sign vehicle sense and reference here. And for the social and Percy's, he takes the correspondence among social and Percy's elements in the time model. And for sign vehicle, as I told you, signifier and representment each correspond to sign vehicle. But as for the sense, Knopf considers that social signified corresponds to sense. And as for reference, he writes in a bracket that it corresponds to thing. And as for Perth, this reference corresponds to object according to Knopf. So if you have this drawn into the diagram, actually, what Knopf and Eco think is that object corresponds to thing. And of course, here you have something mental. And thing, probably you know, but in the social philosophy, thing is a material object outside of the brain. So some part of the fine model is mental, and some part, well, if this correspondence is correct, then this part must be material, right? So you would wonder whether this is really the right correspondence. So you can look at the Knopf handbook more in detail and find the historical shift in the time modeling. And as for the shift in the dyadic modeling, if I briefly summarize what it was, it was started by Augustine, and he said aliquid stat pro aliquo, and aliquid is a label for the material liquo, and material object remains a label. So you have a tree, an immaterial object like tree here, which would remind this label, tree, the aliquid. And there was a long consequence here. And if we update to the social philosophy, then he says signified is mental and material object is situated outside of the sign, and signified articulates the signified. So you have a material object here, which is outside of the sign model, and you have a label signified here, and his signifier here, and signified articulated by the signifier. And here you have that this part is completely mental, whereas this part is material. And so you will see that there are two things. The sign becomes mental along with this arrow. And another change is that the direction of these arrows are reversed. And similar shift can be observed in the case of triadic modeling. So it was started by Plato, and he says that material object recalls the idea that recalls the label. So you have the material object, which would recall the idea, which is mental, and this would remind the term tree, which is mental. And after a long consequence, you would have Percy's quote, which is represent and reminds, interpretant that reminds the object. So you have the arrows, the direction of the arrows being reversed. And our question, current question was, which part was mental and which part was material, right? So the question, of course, would be, what this object is it mental or material in the Percy's model? And if you look at what Percy himself says in his collected papers published from Harvard University Press, and you have the section number here, and you would find out that Percy's object is two-layered, and he names it as immediate and dynamical object. And as for the immediate object, he says, as the sign itself represented and whose being is thus dependent upon the representation of it in the sign. And it's a kind of a Persian way of English. And according to Nath, he summarized it as the mental representation of an object that's written in the handbook of his handbook. And as for the dynamical object, Percy himself says the reality which by some means contrives to determine the sign to its representation, and not summarizes this as object outside of the sign. So if Percy's object is two-layered, then this diagram must be something like you have the immediate object, as which is mental, and dynamical object, which is material. Then, returning to this diagram that I've raised at the beginning, the correspondence here would become questionable, right? Because if this is part of this is mental, it can't correspond to something material. Therefore, another possibility would be raised that signified would correspond to immediate object, which is mental. And actually, it is the dynamical object that corresponds to thing, which both are material. So, among the possibilities, first we started by Ikonov's correspondence that social signified corresponds to Percy's interpretant. But actually, by reading Percy's definition of what object is, we now have another candidate that social signified could correspond to Percy's object. And in this case, you have to determine what does the interpretant correspond to. I mean that here you have something which has no correspondence. And of course, according to Knopf, he says that either dimension is ignored, but I don't believe so, because if Percy and social are really great philosophers, how can they forget, or how can they ignore some important part of their sign model? So you have to find the correspondence for the interpretant if you go for this correspondence here. So the question now is, what does the interpretant correspond to? And you can again go back to the definition of Percy himself, and interpretant, according to Percy, is interpretation. And he says what interpretant is a sign that creates a more developed sign, that sign which it creates, I call the interpresant. And so you have a sign, and this interpretant actually, according to this definition, it's the sign. And this is some diagram that you will have in Persis' semiotic introductory book. But this is actually another sign, and so you have a sign. And this would call its interpretant, which is actually another sign. And this would call another, this is another sign, so it calls its interpretant, and so on and so on. And it creates the infinite semiosis. Interpretant is the source of infinite semiosis, right? And what this semiosis, of course, what this semiosis is actually the value acquired through the sign usage. It is the usage. And then you have to look for what could correspond to, what this could correspond to social philosophy. What actually in social philosophy you would find a lot of other things outside of sign itself, the signifier and signified. The notion as holistic value and notions such as syntagmatic and paradigmatic relation among signs. And these actually add values to each of the signs, right? So I would consider that this is related to use, therefore signified are used together with signs are used with some other signs, and this sign is used with another sign, and it would form holistic value which is existing not inside this sign, but these relations are the values attaching which is the values existing within the holistic system. So the possibility here, we wanted to know what this interpretant corresponded to, and an alternative idea could be that this interpretant actually is the sign, so this corresponds to the sign here, which is used with this original sign. And so you have a new alternative idea that social signified corresponds to Persis object, and then you have to find what corresponds to interpretant, and this actually corresponds to part of the holistic value existing within the sign system. So social's model is obtained by putting the use outside of the sign model. Okay, so I'd be really happy to have that reference. I'd be delighted.
He had a specific goal in mind, and that was, you know, his patients and how they talked about it. So I'm not sure what kind of comparison between the person versus the sewer.
No, there's nothing between the person and the sewer. They elaborate the design in exact way that you find exactly the discussion of the cloud in the Kula Bart and now Steve
No, I understand. And that's why it's been applied to popular culture, because you can't connect meanings within it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this accounting approach to things, but how it's going to go.
Well, I feel very happy if there was somebody as great as Lacan who had same idea as mine, actually. I'm not saying that, I'm never saying or asserting that what I have, my contemplation around here is new or, that's not important, right? The important thing is that you try to figure out what actually the sign is. That's more important. And if I understand that, I'm happy. Therefore, I definitely have to go through that Lacan's reference. Thank you very much for the comment. So the summary so far is that social signified perhaps corresponds to Persis' immediate object. And if Lacan is backing me up, I'm very happy. The Hexel-Shultz model is obtained when process interpretation is put outside of the sign model. So use this inside the triadic model, whereas outside in the dyadic model. And which hypothesis is more plausible? If Lacan is saying with me, then I feel that alternative idea is quite promising. But actually, the question is metaphysical, and it is impossible to be verified, right? And of course, I don't mind actually which is correct, because it doesn't change the reality at all. And back in Japan, I have the seismic problem, and the semiotic problem wouldn't solve that problem. So I don't mind either way. But well, it's a puzzle, right? And I want to figure out the better way. And what is the better way? You have at least I have two things. First is that what is the material object of something that lacks in the real world material object, like if and justice. And in this case, if echo or not was a word correct, then this part would become missing for when representament or signifier becomes if or justice, right? And was that what first wanted to say? I really doubt. And another thing is some large example supporting this alternative idea is that exists. And actually, there is, according to my thought, which is programming. So in programming, there are the modeling of dyadic and triadic signs. And let me explain that example. And in order to understand, I don't want to show you the details of programming. I don't know how many of you write programs. So I'd like to go through by using an example that I use in my classes. So you have various shapes, and sometimes with computers you want to calculate something of these shapes. And definition of each shape could be given by the width and height. And there are various things that you can do onto these shapes, like calculating the area, or calculating the circumference, or drawing on the display, or whatever. So the question here is, in order to highlight my point about the dyadic and triadic model, is that how are the functions described in programs? This part, this calc area, where it exists in the programs. For a while, program text is in blue. So in the triadic signs in programs, you have some kind of object, a shape, and you give the definition inside in this bracket. And in the triadic case, you have this function included in this structure. So you, in the case of rectangle, here you write the definition of what rectangle is, and you have the function applying to this rectangle inside the structure of that object. And when you, that's the definition of the object of this sign A. And when you use that sign, you generate an instance like a rectangle having width of three and height of five. And when you use it, you invoke the function which is existing in the structure. And of course, you would obtain 15 in the case of the rectangle with width 3 and height 5. So A's usage is included in A. Sorry, small a's. I mean, the instance usage is included in the structure of this class A. Whereas in the case of dyadic signs, things are different. So you have the shape's definition, and somewhere else in the program, it can be in a different file or somewhere completely different. And you have a function to calculate the area, for instance, and to this function is given a shape. And you have a definition how to calculate the area size of the shape here. In the case of oval, you calculate such and such. In the case of rectangle, you calculate such and such. And so this function is situated outside, distant from this definition of the sign A. And as for the usage, you create an instance like with the rectangle of having width 3 and height 5. And you the function would call this instance. So in the former case, it was this sign which invokes this function, whereas here it is this function which would call this would have the argument A as the in order to calculate the area. So A's usage is placed outside of A. This instance's usage means this function. And this function is placed outside of a structure of what defines this sign A. And if you write this inside this diagram, then you have the representment A, or rectangle. And you have its definition here. And you have the function that would use instances of this definition here. Whereas in the case of the dyadic sign in the programs, you have A's definition here, and you have the width and height here. And this function is situated somewhere outside, inside the program, which would use the instance of this A in order to calculate the area size. And so this triadic signs are used in what we call object-oriented programming paradigm, whereas in the case of dyadic signs, this is very common way to express what signs are in programs. And if you theoretically pursue what that is, it goes to functional paradigm. So that was an example, and it didn't prove anything, but an example to support the alternative idea. And my idea was that the relation of the models in the is the relation between the two programming paradigms. I mean, the relation of the dyadic and triadic models that we have been looking at corresponds to the relation between the two programming paradigms. So if this dyadic and triadic contrast is important, it has been important in semiotic domain, then it must appear in some form in programming. Programming is a huge sign world. And I consider that it is appearing as paradigms in computing. Before I end, the question then is what a sign is. And we had a lot of different terms appearing already, even though we only considered the dissocial and test. So we had signifier and representment, which corresponds. And we had immediate object, signified, definition or concept. And content, maybe we use the term content to represent what actually this object part is. And we had the notion of interpretant, which is use. And this appears as part of a holistic value existing in the sign system. And then, if you organize things like this, then it's quite easy to see that a sign is a media for semantics and pragmatics. This part, of course, talks about semantics, and this part, of course, talks about pragmatics. So it's a media for semantics and pragmatics. One thing that you can add, having this reorganized model in your mind, is that if you think of, there is an expression appearing in computer programs which is problematic. So you often have a self-referential sign such as this. So this is self-referential in the sense that X is defined as the FX. So X is appearing on both sides. And this has to hold in mathematical sense. And in computer programs, we have these expressions, which are very problematic, because it's the largest cause of non-halting programs. And in computers, we, of course, have the halting problem. So this is the expression which is problematic. And on your right-hand side, if you look at here, X content which is defined here, is actually how X is used. Therefore, in the self-referential science, content and use become tightly coupled. And in this sense, this distinction of dyadic and triadic would disappear because content is anyway the use. And so far we have been thinking about programming language, but we can probably extend a little bit to apply our understanding to natural language science. And if you think of what natural language signs are, most signs are self-referential, right? Use articulate the meaning. For example, given the term water, it's very simple. Even children know what water is. And of course, if you look at its definition in the Oxford, it's written that it's defined as colorless, odorous liquid that is the compound of oxygen and hydrogen. But in fact, it's not only that. It's the use which defines the meaning of the term water, tap water, hot water, spring water, right? And therefore, I must say that most signs are self-referential in natural language. And there are a lot of linguists, great linguists, who said things like semantics is frozen programmatics. Yeah, and Wittgenstein, of course. So, in this case, it's natural that we had dyadic, triadic models coexisted and they could never beat the other side because both are actually quite similar. I mean, that this distinction between the dyadic, triadic models doesn't exist for the self-referential signs. Whereas in the case of programming language, self-reference is limited. As I told you, we have the huge halting problem. Therefore, the two models appear as paradigms. And that's the so the conclusion is that I propose an alternative hypothesis about correspondence of dyadic and triadic sign models, and it seems like Lacan preceded me, which is the good news, actually. And under this hypothesis, you can explain things like how dyadic triadic contrast could correspond to programming language paradigms, and you can explain how the distinction between the two models disappears for self-referential signs. So thank you very much.